Investors flock to a man who's built what he thinks is kryptonite for high-speed traders.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. For trading stocks and other securities, there are stock exchanges, which are highly regulated. There are also alternative trading systems, also called dark pools, which are lightly regulated. There's news this morning that IEX, an upstart alternative system, has gotten some big new investors to help it try to become a fully-fledged regulated exchange. IEX is designed to mute the effects of high-speed trading, advanced technology that some argue serves Wall Street middlemen and not investors. The CEO of IEX, Brad Katsuyama, was cast as the protagonist in Michael Lewis's best-selling critique of high-speed trading, and he joins us today. Mr. Katsuyama, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so what do you got here? Some new money?
Yeah, so we just finished, I guess it's our third major capital raise. We raised $75 million. Exchanges are pretty heavily regulated, and it costs money to be an exchange. We now have the capital, so we plan on filing to become an exchange, and we're pretty happy about we're on track to do that.
How is it looking with regulators in Washington that you'll have to persuade in order to become an exchange? IEX puts in what you might call, a speed bump in the trading superhighway. It slows everyone for just a moment to erase the advantage that people with super high-speed equipment might have, but delaying trading is technically against the rules. Do you think the SEC is going to come around?
Well, it's not necessarily about delaying trading. Picture this. It would be like our exchange being located in Long Island. There were exchanges at some point in Chicago, so it would take, many milliseconds for people that were routing orders to those exchanges. And really what we've done is we've introduced 43.5 miles, 38 miles of that is coiled. It's introduced a 350 microsecond delay. We do think that it's an advanced solution to some of the more sophisticated problems that are out there in the market, and we look forward to discussing that as we file for an exchange.
Now, what did I read this summer from Bart Chilton, a former commissioner of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission? He suggested that high-frequency traders actually do a lot of good, reducing, for instance, volatility in the marketplace.
High-frequency trading is a pretty broad term. I would say that some people who use computers to trade provide a service to the market. Other people who use computers to trade absolutely don't. The best example to give is kind of saying there are two football teams and they're playing. Different level of talent, different level of resources, different levels of coaching. You're never going to be able to regulate that. You would only expect the referee and the playing field to be fair. The exchange essentially is the referee for fair trading. We match buyers and sellers. If the referee doesn't know what's happening on the field, I don't think it can possibly claim to be fair. There is information in the market. Certain participants have it. And actually, the markets themselves don't have that same information.
Brad Katsuyama, the CEO of IEX. Brad, thank you.
Thanks very much.
All right, let's see what's coming out of the traditional exchanges here by doing the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The Russian ruble is up 1.4% against the dollar after Ukraine and Russia talked ceasefire today. H&R Block is expected to report its profits later today. Analysts are feeling good about the tax prep giant's future and the industry as a whole. That industry can thank the health care reform law. In the last few months, millions of people may end up with some tricky tax questions now that they've received federal subsidies to help cover the cost of their health insurance. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Here is a tax prep business truism.
Complicated taxes equals more people needing help.
George Brandis with Jackson Hewitt says his company assumes figuring out ACA tax implications will be tricky for millions of consumers.
A study by the University of California, Berkeley, suggests that as many as a third of all tax credit recipients will owe some money back. And so that adds another layer of complexity on how you handle something like this.
A person could owe money because their subsidy is based on estimated earnings. Underestimate, and you're on the hook to Uncle Sam. The IRS says 140 million people file tax returns every year, with about 60% being done by professionals. North Coast research analyst Kartik Mehta expects that to rise.
We haven't seen this type of a complication to the tax return in a long, long time.
Mehta says the big winners will be the brand name preparers who will likely blitz the airwaves come tax time. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The is word from the mayor's office in New York that 9 of about 1,100 new sites for city-funded, privately run pre-kindergarten will not open because of safety questions and other issues. There will be delays for 36 others. Still beginning tomorrow, about 50,000 four-year-olds in New York City will start attending full-day pre-kindergarten. It'll be free for families, which is especially significant in a city where early education has been the most expensive in the country. Gigi Duban reports.
What are parents in New York thinking about the citywide universal pre-K program?
It's about time.
So says Mildred Warner of Cornell University. She says preschool education makes kids more ready for school and less likely to drop out. As for parents, they have to skip work less often.
It also increases productivity of parents at work because they know their children are in a good, developmentally appropriate place.
Steve Barnett is director of the National Institute for Early Education Research. He says many working low-income families previously had to rely on family or neighbors for childcare, which can be unreliable. Barnett says for middle-class families, it frees up money for them to buy more stuff, take more vacations, spend more on a mortgage.
You could maybe do some more saving for college.
Barnett says for that, it's never too early to start. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And CVS is changing its name to CVS. The drugstore chain was formerly known as CVS Caremark, but not on the signage. Now it'll be known as CVS Health, but not on the signs. It's trying to expand its health care services beyond flu shots and blood pressure screening. And as we previously reported, there will be no more tobacco on sale. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.